and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they which pierced him, and all the hundreds of the earth, all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. He said, I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. Said the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. There never was a time when he wasn't. He was here in the form of his Father when he spoke all of this in the earth, and he said it's good. Nobody said a word because nobody was there. When we look at the key to the book, Revelation chapter 1, verse 19, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. We know that John was put on the Isle of Patmos by himself, and God used him. Revelation deals with prophetic future things. Revelation gives us the details of Daniel, the 70th week. And we have a chart. We didn't chose not to print that because it would have had to been in color for it to do the job. But in this lesson, we will study the apostolic greetings, a preface to the book under four headings. The first point, the people in the previous. When we look at Revelation chapter 1 and we see verse 4a, John to the seven churches which are in Asia. John wrote this to his churches. First church represents the beginning. Religious. John is clearly stated as the human author four times in the book of Revelation. He says in 1:1, Revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 2, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. And verse 9, he said, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. John had a specific job to do. And God, I think it's not brought out, but I think it tells us that we do some of our best worship when we're by ourselves. Not talking about the church, not talking about anything except I meditate a lot. And you can't hardly meditate if the room is full. TV is on. Radio is on. Meditating. When you Try to focus your mind on what God is saying. And when we meditate, we get a better understanding than any other time. Meditation is also healthy. You know, what do you do when you go to the doctor and you find out you have a bad heart or bad liver? You got cancer. Well, normally we get all excited and we worry about it and we do this, and it don't change nothing, but it's normal. You know, I'm not saying anything about it, but all of us in this room have different things wrong with us. You know, I've had a heart problem for all of my years, but this is how I feel about my heart problem. I have a heart problem, but the heart don't have me. And I believe that God has blessed me over the years to prove that. And it's simply meditation, concentrating on what is on your heart, your mind, in your life. And, of course, the Revelation, you know, we say it was four times, and in Revelation 22, verse 8, "And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things." I mean, it will make you humble when you pray and ask God to give you an understanding. And he does, because it's almost surprises. You know, why would God show me? Well, I believe he'll show you as much as you want to know, and he'll give you understanding as much as you want to understand. But when it comes to Revelation, people just mark it off. I've got about 8 or 9 commentaries on the book of Revelation. I think there's 9. And you won't find any 2 that'll agree on every point. Does that bother me, Steve? No. About every preacher that I love and with fellowship with, would preach for, would let him preach for here, I don't agree with everything. I just don't because everything you believe, you ought to be able to show it in the Word of God. And if you don't show it in the Word of God, then it's your opinion. Don't make you wrong, but you got nothing to base it on except your opinion. And I don't want to depend on that, because there's some days I wonder who I am. So, you know, I'm not going to base my convictions on me, because we change. And I said that because my times of studying the Revelation, that people say, I used to believe that. I used to believe that. I've done that, haven't you? But the things that God convicts you of, no turning back. So John also was the author, the Gospel of John, and the 3 epistles. So God really used this man, you know, to choose him. You know, he was sent to this isle, you know, really like a jail sentence. And then God used him to write 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and if you haven't read those, shame on you. I mean, that's all I'd say is, I mean, that is some of the easiest reading. It'll bless your heart. John is described 4 times in the gospel as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Man, wouldn't you like to have that when you really like, I mean, how would that change us? Yes, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Let's see the Gospel of John. We gave you an outline so we won't have to look up everything. You know, if you're interested, you can do that as a good study. But the 13th chapter of John, Gospel of John, chapter 13, and I think it's important to that when God loves you, He uses you. Get that? I don't want somebody praying for me that don't love Jesus, because he can't pray for me. He can pray for himself, but he can't pray for me or you. And we need to understand that in John, Gospel of John, chapter 13, and we look in verse 23, and we see here, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. And now if you read some verses in front of, want somebody turn that light on. There ain't no lights in the back here. Yeah. I want you to be here Thursday night. We don't have a course on how to turn the lights on. I love you, Kelly. All right. So the Lord said here in John 13, verse 23, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of the disciples whom Jesus loved. And we know if we're familiar with that portion of Scripture, that disciple was John. Jesus loved. And John loved him. How do we know? If you read 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, you read the book of Revelation, you'll see that God used John. And you can look in 22, 21, 7 to 20. Now, getting to the meat of the audience, or who was listening, it was to the seven churches. And the seven churches are seven dispositions of time. And each period gets weaker and weaker and weaker. More prosper. Everything except I love Jesus, and because I love him, he will be first in my life. Your wife will never feel second, your husband will never feel second if you love Jesus first. I'm telling you, I'm living proof of that. I've heard my wife say it. I've said it. He's second in my life. Jesus first. Jesus first. So the audience to the seven churches, they were other churches at the time in the region, but John writes to these as representative of all churches, and also because it was with these churches that he was intimately acquainted. So, the first use of the number seven in Revelation was the word seven appears 54 times in the book and is a number of completion. Seven, complete. It's child that is healthy, you know, it's a big exception, but by the time they're seven, they pretty well can know danger. They can pretty well, you know, listen. And then from 8, 9, 10, 11, you know, they get smarter than the parents and they get smarter than the preacher. But that's just normal. Some grows out of it, some don't. But we got to realize that, you know, the word seven appears 54 times in the book and it's a number of completion. God rested on the seventh day, indicating that creation was finished. I don't believe there was no morning break or no evening break in the beginning. Now, what I'm saying, there is no break in your Christian life. Good times, bad times. If you get in bad health or your loved one gets in bad health, you know, I look back, you know, especially the last 7, 8 years of my wife's life. I mean, I almost had an attitude of prayer across from me. You know, we can pray without getting down on our knees and going through a formula. But because we know that person, and if you have a lost loved one, we should know that nobody can save that person but the Lord. So how often do we ask them? Well, he knows my heart, does he? I believe that what's in our heart comes out. I'm not talking about an old physical heart. Comes out. Oh, my mom knows I love her. Daddy knows I love her. My kids know I love her. Well, Romans 2, the prior of the preface, back here in Revelation chapter 1, and we look at 4b, or the second part of the fourth verse, when John to the seven churches which are Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Go on to 5a, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten from the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now, if you read that correctly, you know, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the king of the earth. He is the all in all. He's the only one that put in that grave, came out right on time. The substance of the blessing, you know, is in 4b, you know, when he tells us, you know, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. See, the best for us, or the best for me, is yet to come. I don't care how good you have it on earth, it's nothing compared to what's waiting for you. So we can focus on what's down here and miss blessings and miss joy, or we can say, if I live to be 100, it's a short time. It's just a short time. It's just like a snap of your finger. I'm going to live eternity. No heart problem. No blood problem. No nothing except Jesus. And, you know, I like those songs, you know. I like bluegrass, I like country, but, you know, so some of those spiritual songs, they ain't spiritual at all. I like them, but they're entertainment. I want to scroll over heaven with you, honey. No, you're not. I like the song, though. And I'll be waiting by that little brook. Ain't going to happen. But I don't say that very often because people get joy out of believing something that's not true. Don't you? Sure we do. Grace. You know, grace is God's unmerited favor, and John writes to those who have experienced this grace and salvation. You can't get mad at somebody not believing the word of God if they've never heard it. And you sit in those pews every Sunday and never hear it. You listen to Charles Stanley and everybody else, never hear it. Oh, you hear some, but you didn't hear it. Because you can't change unless the Spirit bears witness with your spirit, and he doesn't bear witness with error. Number one reason you want to go to a church, you may not understand the preacher, but if you got one that preaches the word of God, you better hold on to him because we're a dying breed. So, number B under Roman numeral 2, the source of the blessings. Grace and peace are viewed as coming from the triune God, Father, Son, Spirit, threefold source. The divine source is what gives grace and peace its true value of meaning. Sometimes I'm afraid we think about the Holy Spirit and we're thinking about somebody speaking in tongues or raising the dead or something. But that Spirit is the number one plug for me because he lives inside of me. And if he wasn't inside of me, I wouldn't understand nothing that I read. I wouldn't understand nothing that I hear preached. I wouldn't even know if I was right or wrong. But see, when I do something wrong, and most of the time I know it's wrong, but, you know, it's like, Lord, this is between me and you, you know. You see, it's the Holy Spirit that teaches me. Now, at this point, preachers have told me, well, I can see it, but I haven't got it yet. You wouldn't know nothing about the Bible if the Spirit of God wasn't in you. What does the Spirit do? What did Jesus say? It is expedient. It's necessary that I go away. If I go not away, he said, I won't send the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do? It makes you feel bad for doing sin if you're saved. If you can sin and not feel bad, you're either backslidden way back there, or you just flat out lost and playing the game. Because the Spirit of God teaches us. And we can't get away from it because he lives in us. And let me tell you something else. he doesn't teach me one thing and Brother Steve something else if we're both saved. You understand that? Now, you know, the best way to grow in grace is to admit that without the Spirit, you can't learn nothing. So somebody said, "Preacher, how do you know you're saved?" The Holy Spirit lives in me. How do you know that? When I do something wrong, he don't deal with me 14 days down. He does it right then. Now, he doesn't teach me that quickly, but the Holy Spirit will not let you live in sin and be comfortable. I like to preach that to Biden. So what is the source of blessing? Well, 4a says, John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Why did he make that statement? Because the church is the schoolhouse. It's the spiritual schoolhouse. I'm thankful for, what we do on Sunday night, but it ain't the same. Just not the same. So grace and peace are viewed as coming from the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Threefold source. The divine source is what gives grace and peace its true value and meaning. You get that? I would underline that. The divine source is what gives grace and peace its true value and meaning. It would be so like any other book if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Now, you can try to interpret it yourself. You can get your commentary, you can get your dictionary, as I have, But if I get it, the Spirit of God gave it to me. And now, I very seldom ever use my books because I can just type in a word, got the Bible on my phone, got the Bible on my computer, and if I want to study something, I just type it in and right there. I had a lady tell me that, I don't know how long away. She said, I just have a hard time finding words. I said, "Are you on Facebook?" She said, "Oh yeah, I love Facebook." I said, "I rest my case." I'm telling people they shouldn't be on Facebook. I mean, Facebook's like anything else. You can use it or abuse it. But you got to get the word in there. You got to get the word. And I don't want no second down, watered down word. I want the word. So the divine source is what gives grace and peace its true value and meaning. If we didn't have the Holy Spirit, that's why a lost man, they argue with me every time I get into a house where there's a lost man. I tell you, preacher, I don't go to church, but I read my Bible. I probably know more about that Bible than almost any preacher. So you memorized it, right? Yeah, man, I got a mind. You can quote the whole New Testament. That don't make you saved. How you know you're saved? what little bit you know changed you. And you're so excited about being changed that you want to know more. I've been there. I told my wife, went down to Brother Bill DeRosa, the little Grace Baptist Church down there. I said, I ain't going back there. Somebody's been talking to him. He preached on every sin I had. I said, no. I ain't going back. But I did. And I did. And I did. Because a lost person or a person that is backslidden, they don't like the truth. They tolerate it because, you know, but when you inhale it, I like coffee. I like coffee. In the morning, that's about the only time I drink it, but I fix me a big old cup, and I just like the smell of it. I like it. Do I like God's word that much? Do I like talking to the Lord? I talk to him. And he talks to me. When you're saved and in his will and you're reading, he's talking to you. And when we get to the part that we say we don't understand, not that you don't understand, you just wasn't ready for that part yet. The title, from him which is, which was, and which is to come. That's my Savior. Which is, which was, which is to come. Same one that was born in that manger, crucified on that cross, is coming for me in the skies. Not no. The truth speaks of the eternality of God, his timeless, his unchangeableness. He is the I Am, self-existent, eternal one. That's who he is. See that? When you read just the first book, the first chapter of Revelation, and you apply it to yourself, we're talking about who he is. From him which is, which was, which is to come. That same one that is and was, that same one is going to show up. And I believe he'll come when we least expect it. Truth speaks of the eternality of God, his timelessness, his unchangeableness. He is the I Am, the self-existent, eternal one. Our grace and peace, which is salvation, is absolutely secure. People say, well, I used to be saved. You're accusing my Lord of lying. You may have thought you were saved, but there's none of that stuff of being saved and getting lost. Don't exist in this country. You may feel like you're lost. I feel like I'm lost. You know, I've cried out to him, said, be merciful to me, a sinner. You mean you? Yeah, I'm a sinner. I'm still a sinner. But I'm a saved sinner. And I can sin, but I can't live in it. Okay? A child of God cannot live in sin. How do you know? God will take you home. It's called a premature death. Our grace and peace is salvation. It's absolutely secure because the rest is in the hands of the eternal, unchanging God. God hasn't changed since he said, let there be, and there was. Same God, same power, same love. And we see that in Isaiah 57:15, "For thus said the High and Holy One that inhabit eternity, whose name is Holy." Holy God, holy Jesus. I've got a holy Savior. And He's not going to let me get close to Him if I keep getting sin in my life. He's going to take me to the woodshed, and when He get finished with me, none of that I used to be. It's all I hear when I'm doing what I'm doing over the in Carlisle, and you know, just give him a little printed paper and tell him I love him. If they don't have a church home, you know, I'd be glad to take you over to Amory Road 3 times a week. You know, my car holds 7. There's only one of me, so I'd take 6 of you. Oh, I wouldn't want to put you out. Put you out. Now, then in Psalms 92, "Behold, the mountains were brought forth, are ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." I love that verse. See, there never was a time that He wasn't God. There'll never be a time that He ceased to be God. On the cross, He was God. In the grave, He was God. Man couldn't have brought Himself back to life, but God did. But why? Because He's the creator of life. So, as we prepare to close here, the Spirit, you know, in verse 4D, at the bottom of the fourth verse here in Revelation 1, notice, He said, "John, to the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from Him which is, which was, which is to come, and from the 7 spirits which are before His throne." See, He wants all of me. He don't want me just on Sunday. He don't want me just on Wednesday. He wants all of me. See, I believe that God can not only heal you when you're sick, I believe that God can keep you from getting sick. You know, the 7 spirits are likened to the lengths of fire which speak of enlightenment. The title clearly traces its origin to Zechariah 4:1-10, and particularly verse 2 and verse 10. And compare Zechariah 4:2-10 with Revelation 5:6. That's your assignment. Now, what is the purpose of that? The same God in the New Testament is the same God in the Old Testament, just in a different form. You know, and people look at things and they say, "Well, you know, the Lord's coming back, Pastor. See all of this sin, this homosexuality and drugs and rape." Man, have you forgot that God has opened up the earth and just let, I don't know how many, thousands and thousands. God did that. Why? Because God hates sin. And these little funny people that are so high on drugs that their brain is doesn't work no more. You know, and they're getting more brazen. I had one tell me last week, well, you know, if God was against drugs like you say he is, and if he's God like you say he is, why don't he just wipe it out? Well, then I, talking back to Exodus, you know, where all these homosexuals was just having a good old time, and God says, open up the earth. Bye-bye. And then we spend millions and millions of dollars trying to figure out why the earth opened. I don't understand. But we'll pick up on page 2. Yeah, you know, I can teach this like I preach, you know, just skip and fast. But these 7 churches, I want you to see them. I want you to see them. Because, yes, not because I've said, but if you want to know what time it is, you got to be familiar with the Bible. And when I heard about the third temple was going to start building on that, I mean, you thought I'd won the lottery. That's the only thing left. You said, God don't have to. No, he don't have to do nothing. But he leaves signs. He said, in the last days, this will happen. Look what's happening. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this.